The message you're about to hear has been made possible by the continued financial support of the friends and partners of Faith Hill. To find out more about how to become a partner, be sure to visit faithhill.tv.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who we are.
Well, why don't you hold your Bible, lift it up real high and shout, "This is my Bible. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. A doer, not just a hearer. Today, I'll learn from God's word, and my life will never be the same because faith comes by hearing the word of God." Amen. That was awesome, Brenda. And so, last week we started a brand new series. We titled this Grace for the End Times. Grace for the End Times. We learned, if you remember from last week, that if you look in sport, the way you play the final minutes is a little bit different from the way you play the first, minutes, the first half, the first quarter, depending on which, sport you're looking at. We found out that when you're playing in the last minutes, there's an urgency that's required. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
Can you lower me a bit? There's an urgency that's required, and that's going to really inform us on how to respond to what God is doing in the last days. Amen. And so quickly, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I want to read from verse 25 in the NIV. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. And it's talking about, us living in the last days. And this is what it says. It says, not giving up. We should not give up, right? Not giving up meeting together corporately. That's what he's talking about. As some are in the habit of doing. It had become a habit for some in those days. As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more. Someone say all the more. So he's talking about the intensity of how we approach life. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming back. He says, because, we are approaching that day, or as we run towards the finish line, we need to intensify. We need to turn up the heat. Can I get an amen? And so our attitude ought to be of that of a greater commitment, a greater intensity to what God is doing in the earth, to where God wants us to go, and not pulling back. If you ever, find yourself saying, man, I've got to slow down on the things of God, it's the wrong move. It's the wrong part of the game. If you were born in the Old Testament, you sure could have slowed down on the things of God. Now we are running towards the finish line, and we are the generation, I believe, that is going to see amazing things in this dispensation. And the Bible says, as the day, all the more, as you see the day approaching. Can I get an amen? And so we also found out from reading last week that these are going to be interesting times. There's going to be different kinds of things happening that will make some slow down instead of intensify. So there's going to be two responses to the last days, to difficult times coming, to challenges coming. Some are going to slow down. They're going to be self-absorbed. That's what the Bible calls it. In fact, let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 from verse 1 in the Message Bible. And this is what he says. He's getting ready to talk about the last days. And don't let that freak you out, right? If you look up that phrase, last days in the Greek, it means the days of transitioning. We're transitioning into something different. It's not the end of it all. It's not the finish line. We're just transitioning into something that's better. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1 in the Message Bible. It says, don't be naive. Aren't you never say, don't be naive. Don't be naive. He says, there are difficult times ahead. And as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. They're going to be all about themselves. And I believe that's one of the reasons why people will start to pull back on the things of God instead of turning up the heat, right? They'll become self-absorbed. He says people will become money hungry. And he says people will be self-promoting. He says people are going to be stuck up. I don't know what that is, but it ain't cool. He says people are gonna be profane. They're gonna be contemptuous of parents, right? They're not gonna respect their parents and honor them. They're gonna be crude. They're gonna be coarse. It's gonna be dog eat dog. So in other words, they're trying to get prosperity by all means necessary. If they have to walk all over you, stab, backstab people, kill them. I heard someone say, man, I'm going to get this paper or I'm going to die trying. That's what they say. That's what he's talking about here. In the last days, people will have an attitude like that. He says unbending. You know, they won't allow the Holy Spirit to direct them. They're going to be stiff in their own convictions, which are not biblical. Slanderers, impulsively wild. They're going to be savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, blotted windbags, addicted to lust, allergic to God. That's what he says. They're going to be allergic to God. And he says they will make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. And he says this. This is the advice that he gives all of us. He says, stay clear of these people. And so it's going to be hard for you to memorize all of this while you're going through relationships and check, man, are they, did they say crude, savage, did they say wind blowed, how am I going to, you know, it's going to be hard for you to memorize this, but how you can check, or at least how I check, is I check with, you know, before I enter into a relationship, I check the, what I call the Jesus meter. You know, I sit down and have conversations with people, and I check that versus the I meter. I check how much Jesus is in their conversation. How much I or self is in their conversation. I usually like to hang around people that have a high Jesus meter. And we tell, you know, people when they emigrate and they go to a different country, and we pray for a lot of people from this church who move to different countries. And one of the things I tell them is that when you get to where you're going, you know, find a local church. And they ask me, how do I find a good local church? And I say, you check the Jesus meter. How much Jesus is in the service? Sometimes you have more men of God than you have Jesus in the service, and that's a problem. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so I always check the Jesus meter. How much Jesus is in this thing? Is it self-promotion or there's Jesus in it? Can I get an amen? Amen. And so what else did he say? I mean, he gets a little deep with these kind of people, and he says these are the kind of, stay clear of them. Aren't your neighbor say, stay clear of them. Stay clear of them. That's the advice we get. Don't hang around them. And he says this, these are the kind of people, go back, these are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women. Now, before you feel sorry for the needy women, he also tells us that they're also a problem. So it's a bad combination of two crazy people. He says they smooth talk themselves into unstable, needy women and take advantage of them. Women who are depressed by their sinfulness and they take up with every new religious fad that calls itself the truth. So they're always following after some new, you know, I was saying in the first service, I have a cousin, or a relative at least, who educated, very highly educated overseas, a PhD, a real PhD, and I didn't see them for a period. And then when I saw them after 6 months, they were in India beating on drums, channeling some spirits. And then when the smooth talkers show up, guess what they're going to do? Take advantage of them. All of that is just a sign that we are in the last of the last days. He says they're going to smooth talk them. They're going to go, there's always some new. Man, if it ain't Jesus, I don't want it. There ain't no new teaching under the sun. There's only one teaching, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And way back in 2002, they came up with this thing, Pastor H. It was called The Secret. I was a bachelor then, and one of my friends I was sharing the house with came with DVDs, books, workbooks. He said, man, I found it. I said, what? He said, this is the one. Man, you put it in there. We started going through the DVDs. I said, man, this guy is stealing from the Bible. He was just stealing. And he was calling God the universe. I said, I don't want it. If it's got no Jesus in it, I don't want it. Can I get an amen? It starts and it ends with Jesus. In fact, let me help you. It doesn't matter what the question is. There's only one answer. Jesus. Amen. Man, you start trying to look for some of these answers. Oh, Lord Jesus. Man, it's not in the wristband. Can I help you? It's not in the wristband. It is not in anointing oil. It's not in any of that. It's only in one name, and his name is Jesus. And when you add to it, it equals nothing. But when you bring nothing and you only receive that name, it equals everything. Man, don't try to add to the name of Jesus. That's why it's called the finished work of the cross. Jesus did it all. Don't add to it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so these people, let's go back, they're looking and they get exploited. But don't feel sorry for them. You know why? Because they never really learn. See, I have this thing, I borrowed it from the English language. It says, fool me once, shame on, but you're not going to catch me the second time. No, you can't catch me the second time, man. But these people never really learn. These men are like those old Egyptian frauds, Jannes and Jambres, who challenged Moses, amen? Amen? Man, listen, we are in the last of the last days. Yeah, but fear not, because God is doing something awesome through you. Can I get an amen? And we live in the greatest time in the history creation. We live in one of the greatest times this far. And for us to really understand where we're at, we need, you know, if you use a GPS system, before it shows you where you're going, it locates where you're at, right? And this is where we are in the history of time. This thing started in the Garden of Eden with what is known as the dispensation of innocence. In fact, before I even go there, let me read Hebrews 1 verse 1, because I feel like I'm, you know, jumping things and you know, some people are missing on what's important. Let's go to Hebrews 1 verse 1. I didn't have this in my notes, but I think it fits right in the New King James Bible, if you will. It says, God, who at various times, in fact, if you read it in the old King James, it says at sundry times, and it's talking about different time capsules, that which we call ages or dispensations. Let's go to the original King James, you will see. It says, God, in sundry times, in diverse manners, let's go there. It says, God, who in sundry times, or at sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. How did God speak? By the prophets. Now watch what he says in verse 2. He says, in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So he's talking about two different time periods, and he says in the previous dispensations, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. And when you look at those sundry times or time capsules, I can summarize them this way. He started in the Garden of Eden with what is known as the dispensation of innocence, and then it moved to Cain and Abel with what was known as the dispensation of conscience, right? Conscience, S somewhere, conscience. And then it went to the dispensation of human government with the Tower of Babel, where they were trying to kick God out of their lives, and we know how that turned out. And then it became the dispensation of promise, when God gave the promise to Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then Moses came on the scene, and it was a dispensation of the law. And so in the dispensation of the law, this is how men related with God. It was based on the law. They had to keep the law to the letter. And God gave them a full-on 613 things that constituted the law. And none of them could ever keep all 613. And God was trying to make a point. He was setting up the next dispensation that was to come. And the reason God gave the law, actually, when you read in Romans, was not for you and I to keep it, because none of us could keep it. He wanted us to realize we couldn't do it, and so that we would look for help. And when you look for help or a savior, then Jesus becomes relevant to you. And that's why it transitioned from this dispensation of despair, that's what I like to call it, to the dispensation you and I now live in, called the dispensation of the church, or the church age, or the dispensation of grace. It's also known as the mystery. The Apostle Paul calls it the mystery. And after this, we're going to go into the millennial reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is going to be president politically. He's going to run things and everybody's going to be taken care of. It's going to be a perfect environment. But I write all of this to say this is an interesting time capsule you're going to see as we read scriptures, because none of the Old Testament prophets knew about this. It was hidden in God. It was a secret in God, to the point that, you know, this week is Palm Week, Palm Sunday, right? If you were in a traditional church, you'd go outside and have a parade, and then people would put palm trees and walk around with crosses and things of that nature. That's what happened a week before Jesus Christ was crucified. The people were putting their clothes and their cloths and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," because they thought Jesus had already come to institute the millennial reign. And so they thought Jesus had come to kick, you know, the Roman government out so that he could take political power. But to their disappointment, Jesus came as the Lamb of God to institute the church age. And so the same people who were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, you are a new president," turned on him and said, "Crucify him." They were so disappointed with the things, because they did not have insight or revelation or understanding on what Jesus was doing. They were asked to choose between him and the thief. They said, "Man, we want you to kill him." It was that bad, right? But Jesus was working on something. He was working on bringing in a new dispensation called the dispensation of grace, or the church age, where you and I get to relate with God, not based on our effort, not based on trying to keep the law, but based on our confidence and trust in Jesus. And so someone might ask, why do you say this is, you know, the greatest time to be alive? Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 3, and we're going to read from verse 1. Ephesians chapter number 3 from verse 1. And so next week, we're going to talk about, you know, right here as we transition into the millennial reign, there is what is known as the 7 years of tribulation, you know, where things are going to go south very fast, and a new political power will come on the scene and just torment people and so on and so forth. But do not despair. When this starts, we will be out of here, right? God would have snatched us out of here. We'll be somewhere having a ball. Amen. And so it says in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of..." I didn't hear that. "Of the dispensation of..." He says, I'm the apostle of this dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. And so Paul was given this revelation to now explain what this dispensation of grace means. And he was explaining it to people who had only related with God based on do's and don'ts. And now he comes on the scene and he says, you don't have to relate with God on the basis of do's and don'ts anymore. You can relate with him based on what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. And it was a radical message. And then he says this in verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery," he calls it the mystery, "as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." It was a mystery because it was hidden in God. And he says, "which in other ages," you see that? He says, "which in other ages," or dispensations, right? "In other ages, it was not revealed to the sons of men." And so none of these people ever knew about the church, about the time where Gentiles would come to God and be a part of the bigger family. It was hidden in God. It was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Someone's out, shout fellow heirs. It means we also have a part in the inheritance. Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, through the good news. "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me by the effective working of his power." You know, I'm amazed at the clarity that the Apostle Paul had concerning his assignment. He knew exactly what God had called him to do, and he could tell it to you in great detail. He says, man, I'm called to teach the mystery, which was not revealed to the sons of men in the other ages. And I'm called to teach it, not just to everybody, but to the Gentiles, and to tell the Gentiles that they can be fellow heirs in the greater family of God. Wow. Man, I wish we could be that clear concerning our assignments. Wow. He says, I have the grace. He says, he's talking about the anointing to be able to do this. So Paul didn't just, you know, look at what Peter was doing and say, well, that looks good. Maybe I should do that. No, he had an assignment from God in great detail, and he was stubborn about it. He says, this is what God has called me to do. At one point, he actually had to sit with Peter and straighten him out because he understood his assignment. Wow. Can I get an amen? Amen? He says, to me, verse 8, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace or anointing was given that I should preach amongst the Gentiles, watch this now, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. The eternal purpose was accomplished in Christ Jesus. Watch this now. In whom, Christ Jesus, we have boldness and access. Now, in the Old Testament, they had to have a confidence in the turtle dove and the lamb, and the priest's ability to go in and come out alive. Because what you would do in the Old Testament was annually, you had to bring a turtle dove or a perfect animal, a perfect sacrifice, and the priest would inspect it, and then the priest would have, bells sewn to his garment, to his clothes, and then he would walk in with a string tied on his leg, just in case he doesn't make it out of the Holy of Holies. And so your confidence was just waiting out there thinking, man, is he going to make it? Now, that's in the Old Testament. In this New Testament, we have access and boldness because of what Jesus the Christ did for us at the cross. His excellent ministry. That's what the Bible calls it. In fact, let's go and read. We're going to come back here. Let's go and read in Hebrews chapter number 8, verse 6. Hebrews chapter number 8, verse 6. Man, you live in the greatest time ever in history. Amen. Amen. Watch what it says in Hebrews 8, verse 6. He says, by now, he, capital letter H, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, more excellent than the Levitical priesthood, right? He says he has obtained a more excellent ministry in as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant. Someone say better. So this covenant is better than what they experienced in all these different dispensations. He says this is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And if you go to Colossians chapter number 1, from verse 26 to 25 to 26, the Apostle Paul again says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The Apostle Paul says the assignment on his life was to finish writing the Bible. So when the Apostle Paul was writing those letters, he knew he was writing the Bible. Amen? And he says in verse 26, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Amen. It was hidden. God had a special plan, and it was hidden, and now it has been revealed. And we are the living proof of that secret that God had, and he was going to unleash it to the earth. What is that secret? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 from verse 6 to 10. It says this: however, we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to naught or to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, this is powerful. He's saying that this thing was so hidden in God, the special plan that God had. And he's saying as he was transitioning into the church age, the grace age, he says the rulers or the principalities of the world, Satan and his angels, they did not know about it. Because if they had known of this plan and what it meant, they would not have crucified Jesus. Why? Because crucifying Jesus meant that there were going to be over 3 billion little Jesuses running all over the earth with Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so he thought he killed one, he just multiplied it. Because God then instituted a new covenant where anybody who would believe in him, Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior, could become a part of the family. And at the minute in the world, we have 3 billion little Jesuses with the same spirit. Because so are we in this world. Amen. And it's a different ball game. And he says in verse 9, that mystery, that church age, he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What is that thing? The dispensation of grace. He says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so in closing, I want to give you 5 things that make this time that you and I live in the greatest time ever to be a child of God. Amen? Number 1, if you're writing down notes, write this down. The infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in everyone who believes. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only visit specific individuals who were called to be prophets, kings, and other people. And everybody else relied heavily on the message from the prophet. And so in the Old Testament, you and I could not hear from God. We did not have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And so Old Testament saints sometimes would have to walk 2-3 kilometers, sometimes 20 kilometers to go talk to a prophet just so you can get a word from God. Now in this new covenant, it's a little bit different because Jesus says in John 16 verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus said, you know, hung around his disciples for about 3.5 years, and they were getting kind of used to having Jesus around and seeing all his miracles and see him do all these different things, and they were enjoying that and getting kind of comfortable in that. And Jesus said, man, I'm going to depart. I'm going to go to be with the Father, but don't despair, because it is to your advantage that I go away. Why? Because when I go away, I'm going to send him who is like me, and he's going to stay with you forever. And you won't have to walk 2 kilometers or drive 25 kilometers to hear a word from God, because he's going to be on the inside of you. He will reveal it to you. Amen. And so we live in a different time. Can I get an amen? It says in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And so for you and I, you know, we don't have to, go around trying to hear, from God, from a middleman. Because he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. That's a different dispensation. Amen. And it's interesting because when we transitioned, you know, from this old covenant, he says this new covenant is established. It's a better covenant established on better promises. And one of the better things is that we don't all have to be held ransom by one man, you know, who gets the Holy Spirit to visit them. We can all hear from the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm in you. He didn't say, I'm gonna visit you. He says, I will abide in you. I'll stay with you, and I'll show you all things you need. So I have all kinds of people that come to me, you know, asking for advice, and that's okay. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel there is wisdom. But man, let me tell you, before you come to me, your greatest priority should be to hear from the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, my sheep can hear my voice. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, people would have to walk 20 kilometers just to go ask a prophet, should I turn left or right? And people would have to go to the prophet and say, should I go fight this battle? And the prophet would say, okay, let me check. I'm going to get back to you in about 2 days. And say, okay, the Lord said the battle is yours. Now, he has changed all of that because he's put the prophet in you. He's put him as the Holy Spirit, one who is greater than the prophet. And you can go and ask, Holy Spirit, should I do this thing? And he will say to you, do it or don't do it. You go with the prophet everywhere you go. It's time that you start paying attention to what he is saying. All kinds of people come to me and say, man, Pastor T, should I marry such and such? Some people should come because they're just dumb. You know, they're just true. Some people should come. And usually when it's not a green light, I say, you know, go and listen to the Holy Spirit because I know he's going to tell you don't marry them and he's gonna be, you're not going to be mad at anybody. Amen. People come and say, man, should I buy a red car or a blue car? I say, man, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. I asked one young man, I say, if you get two jobs, how do you know which one God wants you to have? He said, that's easy. One that pays more. I said, that's the wrong answer. The one that the Holy Spirit wants you to have. Amen? I said, amen. And so, in this dispensation, we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. He abides with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the second thing that is peculiar about this dispensation is the individual priesthood of every believer. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Individual priesthood of how many? Every believer. In the Old Testament, there was a priestly tribe, the Levitical, you know, priestly tribe. And, you know, they were the people that represented, you know, the people to God as priests. But in the New Testament, it says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a unique people that should show forth the praises of God. And so you don't need anyone to go in for you. You yourself can go in. How do I know that? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace in times of need. And so you and I can come right into the throne room of grace for ourselves. We don't have to go through anybody else except Jesus the Christ. And we can go in boldly because of this dispensation. It's not based on do's and don'ts. It's based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so it's not based on your effort. You know, it's based on Jesus. And you put Jesus in him. Man, I'm telling you, you will not be inferior. You will not be lacking in confidence and in faith. You will run right into the throne room of grace boldly, confidently, to obtain help in times of need. And we also, in this dispensation, the third thing that's peculiar about it, different from the Old Testament, is spiritual gifts for every believer. Spiritual gifts for how many? Every believer. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 1. Now, I'm preaching hard, but it's interesting that straight after this service, a lot of people are going to be running back to this inferior covenant. They'll be finding themselves a prophet for hire. I say, man, I want you to be my prophet. He just told you, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You ain't no need, no. I'm not saying that there are no prophetic words, but I'm saying you don't need to go back to this inferior covenant. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen. All you need is to say, Lord, make my eyes, my ears sharp to hear and my eyes sharp to see. Amen. What you are saying. Can I get an amen? Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Let's read it in the Amplified. He says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you did not know God, led from one phony God to another. never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. That's a bad place to be. Amen? He says it's different in this life. Someone shout, it's different. That's what he's trying to get them to see. In this dispensation, it's different. It's different. In fact, a lot of people, you know, myself included, I remember when we had our youth group, you know, and Marshall, we had our youth group, and we just launched this youth group. We're going to make T-shirts and stuff, St. Luke's. Way back, I'm talking 2001. We're just going to launch this youth group, and everybody's, it's going to be a big party. So what's the name should we give this youth group? And you know what my favorite name was out of all the names that were suggested? Joshua Generation. Man, I'm fighting. I'm fighting to go back here. And the Lord rebuked me, saying, you ain't no Joshua generation. Come back here. You are the Jesus generation. Amen. Man, I'm trying to march around the walls. What are you doing? Marching around the walls 7 times. Yeah, we're going to shout on that. He says, come on, you don't need to do all of that. Jesus already did it for you. Amen. Amen. Man, we were marching around people's houses. Say, yeah, these people in this house, they're going to get saved 7 times. How many times have we marched? Lost count. Now, how are you going to... Man, this is the message that I needed. It's different in this life. Someone shout, it's different. See, for this covenant, it's different. It's different. Now, how is it different? How is it different? Pay attention to what he says next. It's different in this life. Why? God wants us to use our intelligence. Ha! I never thought I'd see that in the Bible. He said, in this one, it's different. The first thing is, God, aren't you never say, God wants you to bring your brain to church. Man, if you did, you won't be drinking petrol. I'm telling you. You ain't nobody eating grass. You know, I'm telling you, bring it. Bring it to church. He says, God wants you to bring your intelligence to church. To seek to understand, you must understand how this new covenant works as well as we can. You must seek to understand it. You have the Holy Spirit. He will explain things to you. For instance, by using your heads, that's a good one. For instance, by using your head, you will know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say Jesus is master without the insight of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. Someone say everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's a liberating truth. God's spiritual gifts are handed out everywhere. Everywhere. Just look around. Everywhere. Just look around. Whatever you see. God's gifts are going to be sent everywhere. In Maslatini. It doesn't matter where you come from. In Midrand. In Randbeck. Everywhere. God's spiritual gifts will be sent everywhere. Amen. And then he says this. What does he say? He says, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere. We call them spiritual gifts. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, not just in the church. Everywhere. You know, some of the powerful moments I've had with the spiritual gifts have been in the boardroom. Just sitting and not having a goosebump, no slow music, none of that, no butterfly matami. Just say this. I think if we sell product A, B, C, D and get customer B to be connected to this new product, we can triple our turnover. Boom, word of knowledge. I just dropped a word of knowledge right there. A lot of Christians don't think it's a word of knowledge until someone stands before them with a face like they're eating lemon. I'm about to give you a word of knowledge. Then they say, okay, officially word of knowledge is done. No. Listen to this. He says, God's various expressions of power, spiritual gifts, are in action everywhere. Sometimes I'm in the gym, you know, and we're about to go in and work, right, and lift up weights. And I get a word of wisdom. He says, Baba, this one is too heavy for you. That's a word of wisdom. Then I'll say, yes, sir. Spiritual gifts. Then I take it off. I remove. I listen to the Holy Spirit. And action everywhere. Now watch this now. But God himself is behind this. Watch this now. Each person. Someone say each person. Oh, this is good. See, traditionally you've been taught that spiritual gifts are for the chosen, frozen. No. If you have the Holy Spirit, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person. And the purpose is to show who God is. And he says, oh, this is good. Everyone, someone shout everyone. Everyone gets in on it. You know who disqualifies you? The older Christians. They are the ones that say, you just got born again. You got born again when? December. No, he didn't say that. He said everyone. You could get born again this afternoon. Are you a part of the everyone?
Yes.
But you get around some older Christians, they say, in 1985, when we were in Umtata, a revival broke. And the man of God came and laid hands on me here. And you, what's your story? No. He says, see, the Holy Spirit, this is what makes this a different dispensation. It's that everyone gets in on it. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
All kinds of people, male, female, young, old. What's the goal? The goal is to show who God is.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, I used to disqualify myself in spiritual gifts until I read in Scripture a donkey prophesying to a prophet. And all of a sudden, I said, man, I'm better than a donkey. I said, I'm qualified. If a donkey could prophesy, I'm qualified. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
He says all kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. What are these gifts? Wise counsel. Clear understanding. They're just some people with a clearer understanding than others on certain matters. You know, it's a spiritual gift. It's not, see, sometimes we discount spiritual gifts for our own intelligence because to some people it comes naturally.
Yeah.
And they just think, man, that's the Holy Spirit working through you. Simple trust, trusting in God. It's called the faith, right? Working on faith, the gift of faith. Healing the sick. The Holy Spirit working through you to heal the sick. Miraculous acts. The Holy Spirit will work through all of us to do these things. Proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all the gifts have a common origin, but they are handed out one by one by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gets to decide what and when, because he knows the needs of the people.
Amen. That's good. Hallelujah.
And all he's looking for is a vessel that's willing. You know, sometimes I'm sitting at a restaurant, and in fact, my favorite restaurant, you know, and the Holy Spirit will give me a word of knowledge. In fact, Stacey Speller was at a restaurant in Santon at Tasha's, and this one young lady came to minister to serve her, and while she was there, the Lord gave her a word of knowledge for that young lady, and she started ministering to her, got her to, she was a sangoma of some sort and stuff, and the boss had been trying to minister the gospel to her, and she wouldn't listen, and Stacey came, ministered to her, and she got born again. And then there was another lady who was helping her. Stacy just said hi to her and left, right? And when she left, you know, God gave to Stacy an act of faith to perform for that lady. She got to the hotel and she had a shirt that she was wearing, and it was a shirt from Nordstrom. Now, Nordstrom is like, when we go shopping, I like to go to Nordstrom discount store, not Nordstrom. Nordstrom is different. They sell shirts for $200. You get a tie for $400 US, $5,000, $6,000. I mean, it's a different league. When I see Nordstrom and I'm going shopping, I just walk past. I don't even want to look at it. My wife tried to go in there. The one time I pulled, I said, no, we're not going in there. It's unnecessarily expensive. I'm so glad we both agree that it's ungodly. And so she's wearing a shirt from Nordstrom, and she gets to the hotel, and the Lord spoke to her, says, I want you to take off that shirt and go give it to the second lady that she ministers. She said, Lord, I have many other shirts. True story. She said, I have many other shirts. I can even give her three. The Lord said, no, I want you to give her that one. And she said, Lord, she took all the shirts out and spread them out on the bed. She's having a Holy Ghost conversation. She said, Lord, pick whichever other one you want. The Lord said, that one. And so she took it, went and gave it to this lady. And the boss had also been trying to minister to this lady. Now, the boss had given this lady a prophetic word in the morning. He said, something special is going to happen to you today. And by the time she left, she was crying. She took a picture of it. We went to pick her up to go to the airport. She said, something amazing happened. That's how the Holy Spirit, he is not waiting until you come to service. We sing the fast songs and there's the slow songs for him to go to action. He wants to work with you wherever he is assigned you to work. All you have to do is to pay attention to what he's saying and get accustomed to it. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the fourth thing we're gonna wrap it up real fast. The fourth thing is the church. It's the church. You know, the church was instituted in this grace age, and Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. After Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You remember? Who do men say that I am? You remember the story? You can go and read it. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, upon this rock, or the revelation of him being the Christ, the cornerstone, he said, I'll build my church, and the great gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. And the last and final one is the new birth. It's the new birth. It's a powerful thing. That did not happen in any other dispensation. It happens in the grace dispensation. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17, you will see it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. We're going to wrap it up right here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone, someone shout anyone.
Anyone.
This is what's awesome about the Bible, is that there are no chosen frozens in the Bible. It's for everybody. It's for whosoever. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, anyone can operate in the spiritual gifts. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the challenge is we've been trying to earn it. And you try to earn it, you stop it from flowing. God is just looking for an open, willing vessel, and he will use you to minister to people.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, when I was young in the Lord, I remember way back in 2000, 2001, I would drive about 170 kilometers from Harare, and I would go Manicaland, I don't know if that's east, I would go east to go and preach at a school there. And, you know, I tried to earn the power of God. I didn't understand that it came for free, and so I tried to earn it. I tried to earn it, because so I would go and preach Friday, and so what I would do is I would fast the whole day on Thursday to pump, to, you know, charge. I got to get charged. I got to get the anointing to be charged, and I'm trying to earn it. And then Friday, I would drive to the school, and I'm feeling fired up, man. Sometimes I'd be vibrating going to that school, praying in tongues, just say, hey. And I get there, and then I do the service, and right at the end of the service, I call for a prayer line, and everybody comes to the front. I'm laying hands on these people, and they ain't falling. After all that fasting, and I felt like just, you know, fall. I've been, you know, fasting for this falling. And man, I got disappointed because it was all about me. And I was trying to earn it. And religious people, that's why religious people don't function very well in the spiritual gifts, because they are not spiritual rewards. They are spiritual gifts. No one has ever earned a gift. If you earn it, it's a reward. Can I get an amen? You don't go and earn your Christmas gift. It's a gift. And so you don't try to earn spiritual gifts. When you try to earn it, you stop the flow of it. In fact, some of the greatest miracles we've seen, we were not feeling spiritually charged up. You know, someone just catches you off guard and they say, yeah, pray for me. Then I'm like, man, I didn't get a chance to fast. I didn't get a chance to go and do my prayers, you know, and, you know, man, you caught me off guard. But anyway, let's just pray. And then, boom, it works. And then the ones who say, meet me on Friday for prayer, and then now I need to fast and read at least 10 verses for their issue. I get there and nothing happens. Why? Because whenever you try to earn it, you stop the flow of what Jesus did at the cross. Why? Because Jesus plus your effort equals nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so a lot of people in the church are trying to earn the power of God. They're trying to earn it, and that's why they can't function in it, because they're trying to make it their own. And part of the reason why they're trying to earn it is so they can boast afterwards. Because really, if it's all Jesus, what are you going to boast for? You can't say it was my fasting. You can't say it was my Bible reading program. It was all Jesus, so you can't take any credit, so that's boring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fast and pour myself some oil and do some spiritual things and wear white clothes and get on Instagram and say, man, I'm going to delete this thing as soon as it's over. You better get on right now, otherwise, you know, I got to add to it. And then when they do that, nothing happens. Because Jesus is all you need and not all that extra stuff. Now watch what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 verse 17. What makes this dispensation awesome? He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Someone shout, I'm a new creature. Just that statement alone would blow anyone from the old covenant, their little boats, out of town. I'm a new creation. What that means is when you got born again, your spirit became brand new. You had a new identity, and that identity looks exactly like Jesus' spirit right now sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's why scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so one third of me is just like Jesus. One third of me is wall to wall Holy Ghost and sealed. Nothing can go in, nothing can come out. My identity is completed and sealed in Jesus. That's why you can't tempt me into low self-esteem. You can't do it because I'm a new creation. I can't be low self-esteem. I can't be depressed because I'm a new creation. In fact, I was meditating on this so much, I thought, man, this is so good. I might just make myself a t-shirt that says, allow me to reintroduce myself. On t-shirt, Pastor H. Would allow me to reintroduce. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you knew me, you don't know me anymore.
Hallelujah. That's good.
Amen. Amen. I'm a new creature. See, old people were trying to drag Paul into his old identity. He said, no. He said, no, I'm a new creature.
Amen.
He said, I've never done any man any wrong. Amen? He says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what?
You.
That's you.
Amen.
You just have to inform your mind.
Amen?
Amen. Now, the Old Testament saints could only make alterations to the building, to their house. This dispensation, Jesus tore up the building and built a new one. He didn't rearrange the furniture. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why don't you stand on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says of you, it says, if you are little in this kingdom, this new covenant, you are greater than John the Baptist. And not only him, you're also greater than all the Old Testament prophets. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And so he doesn't mean that in a boastful, prideful manner. He just means that in your new identity manner. And so as you read your Old Testament heroes, and we honor them, and we respect them, just know that the work that the Holy Spirit has done in you is greater. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Man, if the Old Testament saints who could only get a visitation of the Holy Spirit fought and defeated depression and anxiety. Man, I'm telling you, we can't even be tempted by depression and anxiety. David would only get a visitation Only a visitation in certain moments. And he says when he was discouraged and depressed, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came and encouraged him, and he snapped out of depression. Now you have the Holy Spirit in you. He abides in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Why are you entertaining depression? Kick it out of your life. Hallelujah. I can't be touched. Hunt your neighbor and say, I can't be touched. Tell the other neighbor, even MC Hammer can't touch this. Hallelujah. Someone shout, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And I have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mouth to speak. His glad tidings over my life. Man, some of you just need to go look yourself in the mirror and allow the Holy Spirit to start talking to you. Through you. And I guarantee you, He will never say you are a loser. He will never say you are depressed clinically or whatever else. He will never say that. He will say you are a child of God. You are called to be above only and never beneath. He will say you are more than a conqueror. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Amen. He's the same. Jesus never said to anyone, oh, it's okay. Things are hard. Be depressed. He never said that. He said, oh, ye of little faith, snap out of it. And man, if you let the Holy Spirit talk to you, He will talk to you. Someone shout, I'm a priest. I can go boldly into the throne room of grace for my family. I can go boldly for my friends and for those around me. See, a priest represented the people to God, and this is why God has called you to be the intercessor. For this country, you can go in as the priest and begin to intercede for our country. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Someone shout, I have the Holy Spirit, and therefore, I also have the manifestation in their various expressions, the spiritual gifts. I'm open to it. Holy Spirit, use me in the spur of the moment. See, just because we are in the dispensation of grace, it does not mean that we can be disobedient. You now need to be obedient. As you pay attention to Him, the Holy Spirit will tell you, lay hands on that one. You know, I was talking to Janet after the first service. She was in Durban, and the Holy Spirit said to her, lay hands on that woman, and the woman had some sort of ailment. And so she came and said to Janet, man, I have this thing. And Janet said, come on here, I'm going to lay hands on you. And the woman said, no, I don't want you to lay hands on me. I worship the God of the universe. And Janet, you know, right there, the Holy Spirit put words in her mouth. He said, man, that God of the universe is going to get you killed. She said that to her. She said that. And then the woman said to her, said, but I'm going to see you in heaven. She said, and the Holy Spirit put words in Janet's mouth, says, you're going to rot in hell. It's called using the law right? There's a way to use the law. If someone is stubborn in their unbelief, you don't say, oh, Jesus died for you. No. You say you. You think you. With your sin, you're going to hell. And then when you whip them, you put them in a corner of the tent and say, what can I do? You say, yeah, now let me tell you. Yeah. Jesus died for you. Man, all these people in the internet saying I'm a sangoma. I meet some of them. They try to tell me I'm a sangoma. I say, you are going to hell. I don't tell them grace yet. I just tell them the reality of hell. You're going to go to hell and you feel this heat, 36 Celsius. It's going to be 1,000 times more. And it will burn forever and you won't die. Do you want to go there? I had this one young man come to my office. He said, you know, I'm still inquiring. I said, young man, Jesus might come back tomorrow and you'll go to hell. Do you want to play Russian roulette with that? He said, what happens in hell? I said, people get burnt. You're disconnected from God. And I told him, I said, your mom and dad, they are born again. They're going to be in heaven, but they won't be able to save you. He said, so what do I do? What should I do? I said, yeah, now let's go to Romans. Now let's go to Romans. I got him saved. got him saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can't allow these people who are lost in their minds to just get away. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister, and he'll tell you exactly what you need to say in the spur of the moment. Amen. Someone shout, I'm a part of the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the ones that make decisions on what goes right here on the earth. The Bible says when we join hands and we touch and agree on stuff, it will be established by our Father in heaven. Amen. And someone in closing, shout, I'm a new creation. The old is passed away. Now that's good news. Because some of you, your past has been tormenting you. And the enemy has been using your past to tell you you are not a good person, you're not qualified to be used of God. All your past mistakes, and you've been entertaining it because you think you are still the same old person. No, you're not. When you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all your past is gone. Your life is washed as clean as snow. That's what the Bible says. It says the blood of Jesus washes us as clean and as white as snow. Amen. You are a brand new person. And it's time for you to have confidence in that and in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. Don't look back. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't look back. It's time for you to look forward with great anticipation, the plans that Jesus has for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great dispensation, this grace age, this church age, this mystery which was hidden in you, the riches of this mystery, which is the gospel, and that we as Gentiles can become fellow heirs with your firm family worldwide. Lord, we just thank you that we are a part of this great privilege. We are a part of those who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. Holy Spirit, speak to us, and we will follow. Our hearts are open. May your gifts manifest through us everywhere where you have called us to, at work, in our families, in our jobs, wherever we interact with people. Holy Spirit, allow us, our hearts, to be free and open a channel that you may flow freely. Lord, we thank you that we will obey. Even when we risk being embarrassed, we will obey. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And someone said, amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, we call it practicing the presence of God. You know, wherever you are, we were coming from Mpumalanga, and we were at this garage, and it was a little garage there, and we were buying stuff. And this one young man was behind me, and he was buying a big packet of chips, and you know, I could see that he was kind of struggling, you know, financially. And the Holy Spirit said to me, take all of the stuff that he wanted to buy and just pay for it, you remember? And I said, hey, young man, bring me all of that. And I paid for it. That was a step of faith and working to sow seeds in his heart and to show who God is. And man, I'm telling you, I've never seen a big smile like that in my life. And he followed me outside and he kept looking at me. And I kept telling him, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he was shaking his head, and I mean, he couldn't believe it. And he went and joined this group, and he couldn't believe what had just happened. And I say this to say, some of you, you know, your work colleagues, the Holy Spirit has given you a word to speak to them. And sometimes when you step out on a limb, you risk being embarrassed. Sometimes people will tell you, man, I don't need it. Leave me alone. And sometimes you want to pay for someone's groceries, and they'll, you know, burst out at you and say, man, you think I can't afford this? But I'm telling you, I'd rather be embarrassed in obedience than walk away thinking, man, that could have been a miracle.
Yeah.
Some of you, God is going to give you a word of knowledge, something that has happened in someone's past that's going to help fix some situation, just to know that the Lord knows and that there is healing that's taking place. And you need to step out in faith. Some of you, the Lord is going to give you a message, a Bible verse to send to someone. And don't think through it too much. Just allow the Holy Spirit to use you as you obey. And I'm telling you, it's going to minister to someone and show them who God is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? And I'm telling you, as you start to practice that more and more, the Holy Spirit can trust you with more, bigger, crazier responsibilities. You're going to start praying and snatching people out of wheelchairs. You're going to start, you know, raising the dead, laying hands on blind eyes. But it's going to start with you paying for someone's groceries. If you can't even pray for someone, forget him, you know, just snatching people out of wheelchairs. He can trust you with that one. He's going to start you with your work colleague. You know, my wife has this work colleague who is a Muslim, and she always comes and says, man, can you pray for me and stuff? And my wife prays for her. And the one time my wife, in the spell of a moment, the Holy Spirit said to her, tell her you pray in the name of Jesus. She said, man, I'm just going to let you know I pray in the name of Jesus. She said, I know. That prayer works. And guess what? That sowed seed in that woman's heart. And now she knows when you pray to Jesus, it works. When you pray to hair stuff, it doesn't work. That's the truth. And the husband knows. And so the husband was saying, call that Christian woman and tell her to pray to Jesus. We've been trying all this stuff. It's not working. And so I'm telling you, as you step out, it says the Holy Spirit, the gifts work everywhere. Start using them. Restaurants, man, give people verses. Man, you put a big tip and put a Bible verse. Amen. Don't put $5 and put a Bible verse. Put a big tip and put a Bible verse, and they're going to read it. Amen.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. To find out more about how you can become a partner, visit faithhill.tv today.